is the translation of the message delivered on June 14, 2020. The message was delivered by Pastor Hong from Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. The title of the message is A Beast. Let us read today's scripture passage, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Until last week, we had looked at four beasts who came out of the ocean in the book of Daniel chapter 7. The first beast had wings of an eagle, and he was like a lion. The second beast was like a bear. The third beast was like a leopard. The fourth beast was not like any existing beast on the earth, and he was terrifying, frightening, and very powerful. He had 10 horns. All these beasts represented man-made empires, nations, powerful human beings with authority, civilizations, values, or human patterns. They have destroyed human natures or the world in one way or another. I said a beast which is similar to those in Daniel chapter 7 appears in Revelation chapter 13, and it is the one in the passage we just read. We saw that the four beasts in Daniel chapter 7 were the Roman empires and the civilizations and nations that followed it. The Roman Empire dismissed, succeeded, or absorbed all the preceding civilizations and established huge and enormous civilizations. It is still influencing the modern society. The beast in Revelation chapter 13 seems to reflect how Romans did it, and the beast in Revelation chapter 13 seems like an upgraded version of the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7. Again, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. A beast here also came out of the sea, just like the beasts in Daniel chapter 7. It had 10 horns and a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies. It was like a leopard, and it had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. At this point, doesn't some image come to your mind? Yes, this beast is like a combined form of the first beast like a lion, the second beast like a bear, and the third beast like a leopard that appeared in Daniel chapter 7. In the combined form, there were additionally 10 horns, a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, 7 heads, and crowns on the 10 horns. Since the 10 horns and the mouth to utter proud words are common, the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7 and the beast in Revelation chapter 13 can be considered being identical or equivalent. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel described the fourth beast only as being terrifying and frightening and very powerful. The first three beasts, like a lion with the wings of an eagle, a bear with 3 ribs in its mouth, a leopard with 4 wings and 4 heads, were all creepy enough to turn Daniel pale with fear. The fourth beast was even more dreadful, appearing like a leopard, having bear's feet, lion's mouth, and 7 heads, each having a leopard's face and a lion's mouth. When Daniel saw it, he could not describe it any better than being terrifying and frightening and very powerful. God must have shown both Daniel and John the same identical beast in the vision. What is interesting about this beast is that being like a leopard with bear's feet and lion's mouth seems to reflect human empires or civilizations and a human world that show off make-believe prosperity. Just to remind ourselves, let us turn to the first part of the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verses 2 through 8. Verse 2. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. 4 great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up, and eat your fill of flesh. After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. The fourth beast in this chapter was the Roman Empire, who had the tremendous military power. Its mobility, mental world, or philosophy was based on Hellenistic and ancient Greek cultures, which ignored God. The Roman Empire put on the culture and mentality of the Greek Empire. On top of that, it had absorbed and acquired huge economic power and population of the Persian Empire, and offensiveness, conquering power, and the ruling power of the Babylonian Empire. A leopard with 4 wings and 4 heads was the Greek, and a bear with 3 ribs in its mouth was the Persian Empire. A lion with wings of an eagle is the Babylonian Empire. When those 3 beasts are combined, it becomes a form of the beast in Revelation, which is the same as the fourth beast in the book of Daniel. Romans dismissed or succeeded or absorbed the Greeks, the Persians, and the Babylonians to prosper. And it makes sense that the fourth beast, as the Roman Empire's Romans, appears like a leopard with bear's feet and lion's mouth. 10 horns, that is, regenerable, represent nations, worldviews, civilizations that have been built after the Romans by changing their forms in one way or another. Crowns represent paper-made, make-believe prosperity that is shown off by them. This beast makes people afraid of it because pains and humiliation by exclusion await them if they do not accept it, obey it, and adopt it. 7 heads look like having mysterious power that control people. In short, the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7 appears as the beast in Revelation chapter 13. Although the 2 beasts seem to look slightly different, their objective was the same. It is to keep people away from God, to distance them from the salvation of Jesus Christ, to downgrade the authority of God's word, to make them believe what they see is all, and to lead them to eternal destruction. This beast was already acting long before Daniel's time, until Daniel's time in 540 BC, and it has been continuing its work since then, all through the time of Revelation in the first century and up to this 21st century, and it will keep working by changing its activities in one way or another until the day of appearance of Jesus Christ. Even today, the beast is working hard to keep away as many as possible from the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it must hate the message delivered in the worship service that reveals its true character. Let us read Revelation again. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God, and to slander his name and his dwelling place, and those who live in heaven. The beast pretended to be dead and resurrected to catch the hearts of people to make them believe in him and worship him. There is nothing unique and original about Satan or devil. The Trinity God, who is the Creator, is unique and original in every sense, but Satan or devil only imitates God. This is why they imitated death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and pretended to be resurrected from death to mislead people and control their minds. Our human civilization has faced many big problems in the past history, like wars, famines, pandemics, wrong leaderships, but those have been all overcome. But man has never recognized God's grace in the history. Partially, or only among Christians, God's grace working in the history might have been recognized. But God's grace has never been recognized by man in human history. Man rather praised human beings themselves, and ignored God. And instead, people worshipped what is not God, aimed what is not God, or looked for guidance from what is not God. Consequently, human being worships the beast and is led to worship the dragon. The dragon that appears here is the same as the serpent that is Satan or devil who tempted a man in the book of Genesis. Satan or devil does not appear like a dragon that is so dreadful and terrible looking, but they sneak closely to us without us knowing. Revelation chapter 13 describes well the existence of the invisible but real source of the devil and its work that is behind the human world or human character, and it deludes people to believe it just because they are visible or they can be touched by hands, but they are not reliable at all. C.S. Lewis, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, wrote a book titled The Screwtape Letters. I recommend you to read it when you have a chance. This is a story of a senior devil advising a junior devil how to keep a man away from God so that he would not receive Christ's salvation. It is a very insightful book that really gets to the point. The Bible, including the record of the Revelation and Book of Daniel, warns us that we should not have an illusion about the world, because God knows very clearly the existence of the dragon and the beasts that control the mind of people by making them have an illusion about the world through through every means of media and every information or event or phenomenon. I'm a slow book reader, but I like reading books. When I go to a bookstore, I see so many books on the shelves, and new books are published every week. Those books are written based on a specific worldview, or they write about a certain worldview itself. I wonder if people can find out the truth by knowing various worldviews through all these flooding books. Or I wonder if these books are published one after another like a flood because people pursue to know the truth. These overflowing books and all kinds of information transmitted via various media do not seem to present any reliable worldview, but cause more confusion in people's mind. The fact that so many books are flooding in our society today reflects that our time is lost deep in the darkness to find a true and reliable worldview. But we cannot admit it. Once we do it, it means we deny the civilization that is the foundation of ourselves, human beings, and human society. We human does not want to admit it. Instead, we use a convenient word called diversity. Please do not misunderstand me. Diversity is a word to express the most important characteristic of the world created by God, and it expresses God's grace that includes harmony in the natural world, cohabitation with the nature, eradication of discrimination, reconciliation, relationship recovery, wealth, and so on. This is why Megumi Church has been cherishing diversity. However, if diversity means accepting all kinds of worldviews, which brings a confusion in the world and romanticizing the trend of this deeply lost era, the word diversity there has lost the real meaning of diversity as God's grace. Our time seems to think living in a fake diversity is cultural. For human beings who live in such pluralistic world with various worldviews, and for the world which does not believe in God's providence but being proud of its fake diversity, uniqueness of Jesus Christ as being the only God and only salvation is very dangerous. And he is a source of conflicts and obstacle that promotes elimination. When I conducted a wedding ceremony for a friend of mine from the college time, another friend who was sitting next to me during the reception said to me, knowing I'm a pastor, "You know, Christianity is monotheism with no tolerance and very eliminating. We can better get along with polytheism in Japan. What do you think? Christianity is no monotheism to begin with. We believe in Trinity, God the Father, Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It is neither monotheism nor polytheism, unique Trinity. I would like to speak about Trinity in more details in the future. Trinity God is love. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, is not dangerous. He did not conflict or eliminate, but he held, healed, comforted, recovered those who were hurt by fake diversity, by his uniqueness, and saved them by giving away his life. It is Jesus who leads to the true diversity, a lost sheep, who in the fake diversity has been exposed to the confusion between what is true and what is fake. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." This is how those who were redeemed look like in the heaven. It is a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were once buried and suffering in the fake diversity, but they have been led to the real diversity of God's grace, and they are enjoying it now. Let us turn to a hymn that praises God with diversity centered around God. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Here is diversity that respects human beings, creations, and God, instead of diversity that deludes people and the world. The beast and the dragon might have made a great success in a sense of keeping people away from God and salvation by creating fake diversity of pluralistic world with plenty of values and worldviews. Let us go back to a book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 21. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them. Verse 25. He will speak against the Most High and oppress His holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into His hands for a time, times and half a time. We are living in the world which leads us to worship the beast without knowing. But there is a limit in this. This will not last forever. The Bible writes a promise that a time will come when the beast, the dragon, the devil, Satan, the world views that ignore God, and those who have such world views, all will be judged, destroyed, and thrown into a burning fire. This is why salvation is needed. Salvation provided by Jesus is salvation from this eternal destruction. In Book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 11, "Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire." Verse 13, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence." Verse 26, "But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever." Verse 27, "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him." So a time will come when all the beasts who appear as a fake diversity will be destroyed by the Ancient of Days, that is God the Father, who is present from the eternal past to eternal future, and the Son of Man, that is Lord Jesus Christ. And a time will come, for sure, when the saints of the Most High will inherit imperishable eternal kingdom, who have been redeemed from the destruction, saved, put on white robes, and called God's children by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is why we should not have an illusion about this world. And this is why the Revelation says this, Revelation chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Verse 10, "If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed." This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Last Friday, I was struggling with something, and it was so hard and painful for me, and I wanted to die. I was thinking how to die while sitting in my room with no light. When Jonah in the Old Testament said, "Lord, take away my life," it was Jonah's plea to God out of his faith. And his attitude is what I should follow in my prayer as a believer. I have prayed to God many times in the past, a prayer like this: "God, please take away my life. After I close my eyes tonight, please never open my eyes again. If that is not possible, put me into a traffic accident or something else so that my insurance will be paid to my family." But this time, the struggle was coming from my unfaithfulness, selfish desire, self-deprecation, self-pity, and thinking even I did not really care God or Buddha. If I illustrate it in the way of today's passage, it would be like a war was waged by the beast against me. But I was defeated, trampled underfoot, crushed into pieces, and captured, and I was about to worship the beast, or in practice, I have worshipped the beast. Even under such a situation, a hope and a glimpse of light was given to me by the Holy Spirit, which was a desire to read the Bible. And I read the letter to Colossians. Why Colossians? It's because this book explains who Christ is in its very essence and in a way easy to understand. I chose Colossians thinking, if I don't find a solution in the scripture passage which describes who Christ is, I would not find a solution anywhere else. I wanted to get out of this deep darkness by reading the scripture that talks about Christ. Then what happened? Here I am, standing before you this morning. God's word is truly our food. It is delicious, quenching my thirst not only in my throat, but at every corner of my body. It gives moisture, power, healing, consolation, and hope. Let us read a little bit from Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am a present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So what is my struggle for? It is for me to know Christ, who is God's mystery, and to fully proclaim this mystery. I was reminded that in Christ there is hidden wisdom, knowledge, fullness of the deity, every power and authority. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of comes out from the mouth of God. But I spent more time on the news of this world than God's word. What I recite days and night is not God's word, but human words. Instead of seeing the world with God's perspectives, I was judging God's word with human perspectives. I say there is all the wealth in Christ, but I find wealth in this world. To save up the wealth of this world, I use Christ. To walk in Christ, who is the true wealth, I hesitate to use my worldly wealth that I have saved. These things were exposed and revealed to me, and I could not deny but to cry. And Jesus is so gentle that he forgave me, accepted me, and once more he gave me his power that works powerfully in me. God, we believe, is God of judgment, but his judgment is not for the sake of judgment. It is to give recovery and rebirth. God gives recovery and rebirth as many times as he wishes. This is God's grace. Because of this God's grace, we can inherit God's eternal kingdom. This privilege can be found nowhere else. God leads us to live our life rooted in God's kingdom, which is like a rock, instead of rooting our life in the sandy earth of this world. There is no better blessing that we should be thankful. Finally, let us read Apostle Paul's prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. May our life be filled with knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and may we walk in the Lord, bearing fruit in him and growing in the knowledge of God. Let us pray.